Ay, bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Bobo, welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast. Today, we are going to honor the Loa junto, the spirit of the drums. As always, we begin our conversation about the divine by centering ourselves with breath and prayer. So let's start with our breath. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale, love. And exhale, doubt. Inhale, joy. And exhale, uncertainty. Inhale, faith. And exhale, fear. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all the divine saints and angels in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of all four elements of earth, water, fire, and air in the east, west, north, and the south, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to Wunto, the spirit of the drums, both known and unknown, to which we honor in today's episode. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the opportunity to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask you to enlighten and empower our listeners with light, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and our minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance needs to be shared is shared and is understood in this episode. We ask that whatever lessons need to be learned, be learned. Aibobo, agoago, bo, rababa, asao, alaso, aoshenago, javodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sen, bo. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of the Agua Cerrito podcast show. If you've been on the journey with us, thank you so much for tuning in again. We truly appreciate you being part of our digital laku. And if you're new to the show, a big welcome, a big aibobo to you. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, also known as Professor Konekife. And this show is all about one thing: deconstructing, demystifying, and decolonizing Haitian Vodou. Each week, I share information with the goal of educating, empowering, and enlightening our listeners on the beautiful, sacred, religious practices of Haitian Vodou. Before we dive into today's episode, I invite you to hit the follow button, to subscribe to this podcast show so you never miss an update. And if you're enjoying what you hear, leaving us a quick rating or a quick review is one of the best ways to support the show. It helps more people find us and it helps keep our digital laku growing. And of course, feel free to share this episode with a friend that you think needs to hear this information as well. And since we have listeners in our digital laku all across the world, every week I want to begin shouting out a city where our listeners are located. And so for this week, for this episode today, I want to send a big aibobo, a big shout out to all of our Agua Cerrito listeners that is living in Livingston, New Jersey. So Livingston, New Jersey, aibobo, aibobo to you. So let's jump into our topic. Today we're going to talk about Wunto. And I wanted to do an episode specifically on Wunto, because I honestly don't hear a lot about Wunto. And as you'll see, as we talk about and we unpack in this episode, Wunto is the heartbeat. You know, it is the heartbeat specifically when we think about Vodou ceremony, specifically when we think about different lakus, different bitations, societes, communing, communicating with the divine in real time. It is Wunto, it is the drums that acts as the heartbeat to bring us to further connection with the divine. And so because of this, I felt it was necessary to do an episode. Particularly, it's very purposeful that we are doing an episode about Wunto right after our episode on Gosheme Papalegba, because in many lineages, there's a reglement where usually the spirit of the drums is actually saluted first. Actually, in many lineages, it's actually the spirit of the drums is saluted even before Papa Legba. So while I know in our last episode, we talked about the important role that Papa Legba and Gosheme play within Haitian Vodou in terms of being the great road, opening up the gateway, allowing us to facilitate communication with the laws, Wuta plays a role in that opening. It plays a role in creating that sense of connection. And so I wanted to, before we got further into the other laws that we're going to talk about in this episode and in this season, I thought it would be remiss to not dedicate and honor and love on Wuto, the beloved spirit of the drums. So let's talk about it. So what is Wuto, right? So Wuto, it doesn't just refer to like a single spirit or loa in Haitian Vodou, but rather it speaks to the spirit of the drums, the sacred drums that are associated, to the rhythms, to the ritual music that is typically played within ceremony, that's typically played to summon, right? To acknowledge, to thank, to, you know, revere on the laws. So Wuta is the spirit, right? So it's not just an instrument. You know, when we think about the drums, let's say from a Western lens, there's this idea that it is an inanimate object that you pick up and you play for a particular purpose and you put down and you move on. That is not how we view drums from a Haitian Vodou lens, right? Wuto is a living spirit, right? It is inhabited within the drums. And it is essentially a vessel. Think of, you know, we talked about in a past episodes, we talked about our bodies being vessels. Well, the drums are essentially a vessel as well for the divine force to really, you know, be able to come down into the earthly realm. And when the drums are played in ceremony, it essentially opens the gates between the worlds and helps call in the spirits through the rhythm, through the frequency and the sound vibrations that are created through the art of drumming, right? So I think it's really important for people to realize that there's many other sacred, let's say, objects and sacred artifacts within Haitian Vodou. But I think what's interesting is that the drums are not just a sacred artifact. They are living spirits. So anytime, let's say if you go to a ceremony or if you, you know, just kind of see a video of drums being played specifically within ritual, not in a secular space, right? But more specifically in a ritual setting, there is typically a spirit that has inhabited that specific drum in order for it to create the frequency and be the conduit for divine presence that manifest in the earthly realm. And so when we think about Wuto is not a phenomena that we particularly see just in, you know, let's say specifically in Haiti, or we want to say in Haiti. Actually, Wuto has African roots. We find that the word Wuto actually comes from the phone language of Benin. And within Benin, in the phone language, the drums are called Wu, or sometimes they're called Wu-Vi. And that's kind of how they tie and consider it within Vodou. That's Vodou with an N. And within the phone language, Wu or Wu-Vi essentially carries this sacred sound. So the word and the origin are you know, Fon influence. They are also Yoruba influence. And I want to talk about some of the comparative of other divinities, not only within not just in Haitian Vodou, but also in other religions that are akin or similar in terms of their signature energy that they carry that's similar to Wunto in Haitian Vodou. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit here. But the word, when we think about Wunto and its roots, its Fon language roots, the word essentially refers to an ensemble of drums that are used specifically in a ritual way, and that allows for the Loas to essentially ride. You sometimes hear when people talk about the Loas kind of manifesting in the earthly realm, you'll hear different terms used. So you may hear they say that the Loas mount. You know, it could be that the Loas mount the drums, the Loas possess the drums, the Loas inhabit the drums. Sometimes you hear the word ride, you know, almost like a person that, like, you know, rides a horse, right? So sometimes you'll hear these, and a horse in Haitian Vodou is essentially another way to think of a vessel. So when the Loas or the spirits show up and they, you know, mount an individual, that person at that point becomes a vessel for that Loas. And that is called a shwal or a horse, right? Because the Loas is essentially riding that person. Well, in the same aspect, you know, the Loas can also ride the drums. So it's a really important element to consider when we think about the importance of Wunto within Vodou. Now, we're talking about Wunto. I think it's also important to talk about the drummers, right? And I want to go into the drummers a little bit more later in this episode. But the word for drummers is similar. So Wunto is the spirit of the drums, and it refers to the drums. Wutogi is the term that is sometimes used for drummers. And what's interesting is that each nation of Loas, so when we think about the Lada Nation, we think about the Petwa Nation, the Nago Nation, we talked about the Nations in season one, each specific nation has its own rhythm, or what we call rit, right? They have their own rhythm, their own drumming sequence or drumming patterns. And the Wunto essentially is assembled to adapt to the various different nations, right? So essentially the drums, and there's a series of drums that are used to play, and they adapt to the various different rhythms. I think what's interesting is that there are some regional differences in terms of whether, you know, you'll see some places they may have three drums. You may see some areas they have more, you know, four or five drums. It depends on the règlement of the Laku. It depends on the règlement of the société or the bitation, that there may be some overall nuances. What's interesting is that regardless of what's the drums being used, what sets of drums, there's essentially a rhythmic technique. There's a cadence of how the drums are played for each nation that you see kind of resonate from, you know, bitation to bitation, laku to laku. So the rit, even if the drums and how it's assembled and how it adapts to the different rits, even though those may be a little different, essentially the sound and the way that the songs are constructed are very similar. In some bitations or sotetes or lakus, they may use only one set of drums for all the rits. And in others, they have a set of drums, let's say, for the rada rits, or they have a set of drums for what's called the peto rits, right? If there are two different sets of drums that are used, there's sometimes a difference in just how their drums are specifically made. So for example, you may have, like with the Rada drums, they may use like cowhide or goat skin, and they are really designed to sound round and steady and cool. I would love to honestly in the future do another episode on Wunto and have a drummer really come in and share and talk with us about it from a drummer's lens. I think that would be a really interesting perspective. But for Petwa, if there are separate Petwa drums, they may use other types of skin in instead of cowhide and goatskin in order to create a more drier, a more like cutting sound, because the Petwa rhythms are a lot faster. They're a lot more intense compared to kind of the warmth, right? The more rhythmic angles of the Lada drums, right? So I think hearing kind of the different drums, and we played kind of different drum sets in this season already. But when you hear the different drums, I think it's interesting to start to pick up on how the drums are assembling, how they're all kind of playing together in unison. When we think about the typical set, so regardless if there is the same set of drums used for all the naciones or there's different sets of drums used for different naciones, there's kind of three main drums that are typically used. So they have what's called the mama tambu, right? That's considered like the lead drum, and it is essentially the drum that sets the tone for all for the remaining other instruments, right? The other drums. So essentially the mama drum, which is typically used by, let's say, the master drummer of the ceremony. Once they kind of kick it off, they kind of kick the beat off, and typically the other drummers follow suit to what, you know, kind of to kind of match the beat that is being played by the mama drum, right? And so mama drum is very important. It's actually a bigger drum, bigger than the mama drum, that's not always played. And I want to talk about that bigger drum when we're going to talk about the role of drums in the Haitian Revolution in this episode. So I want to come back to that like mega drum, right? But essentially in most ceremonies, you'll see the mama drum that will be followed by the middle drum, which is called the sigon, right? Which kind of supports and answers the mama drum. So like I said, the mama drum sets it off and then the middle drum kind of responds. And then there's a smaller drum, like a baby drum, that's sometimes called a bula. Some areas may call it a kata. And that is, again, that kind of helps form like the foundation of the music, the song, or the sound that's being played. In addition to the drums, there's sometimes other instruments. And, you know, listeners, if you're interested, I may, you know, do an episode just on the various other instruments, you know, so not just the drums, but also other instruments within Haitian Vodou. If that's interesting to you, feel free to shoot me an email, aguacerito@gmail.com. I'd love to hear. Like I said, in this episode, we're really introducing Wunta and introducing this spirit to you. But there's just so much to talk about. I feel like there could be an entirely other episode just on Wunta itself. So yeah, so going back to instruments, that's what's called the oga, and the oga is the bell. So you may hear like this like bell that's constantly playing, similar to the kata or bula. It helps create like that rhythmic foundation within songs. And so you will also see that, you know, present in many, many, many lakus. Now, in other lakus, they may have entirely, you know, different sounding drums for different reeds, as I've mentioned, but they also may have other instruments that may be used depending on the specific reglema. I've seen a number of other types of instruments be used, within Vodou ceremonies. So I think it's very interesting. And usually the key difference is that if a laku or a societe uses the same set of drums, they essentially adapt the drums depending on the nacion and the songs that they're playing and the rhythms of those songs. So important kind of distinctions to just be aware of. And I really invite you, you know, take a moment in the future, listeners, go on YouTube, right, and just kind of type in a Vodou ceremony and take a moment to watch if you're able to find a video where they focus, you know, the angle of the video on the drummers, kind of watch the drummers, how they interact with each other and how they make kind of breaks and stops and pauses. And then sometimes they go up, you know, they kind of go up in, you know, crescendo, then they go down. Just kind of follow, because again, you know, they're, think of it like almost like an orchestra, right? Like the drums, they play such a pivotal role in connecting with the vine. There's like a rhythm, a pattern, right? A règlement to the language. You know, I call it sacred language that is being used and played. So essentially, you know, if I kind of summarize what was shared, you know, the drumming is really the primary vehicle to call the laws, right? You know, in addition to Legba opening the door, the drums help set the tone, right, to invite the laws in, to invite possession, right? I think that's so important. And when the drums are played correctly, and I purposely use the word correctly, because of the language of the drums, there's a sense of secrecy that comes with what I call Wuto culture. And I'm gonna unpack this kind of idea of Wuto culture later in today's episode. But there can be, if the drums are not played correctly, whether it's, you know, the sounds are not coming right, it's the wrong greet for the loa that's being called, or, it, you know, there's just something that's off, the vibe is off in some way, shape, or form with the spirit, with the drums themselves or the drummers, it can actually spoil a ceremony, right? And so it's very important, you know, to understand that the drums are not child's play, and the drums are to be taken very seriously. They should not be taken on by an amateur. And remember, there are living spirits in the drums, right? And the drummers, they are essentially trained a specific way according to the règlement that's required in order for them to carry out this sacred spiritual mission they have in every single ceremony. So while on the outside looking in, it may look like just someone, you know, casually sits down and just starts playing the drums, there's a lot more kind of, invisibly going on behind the scenes that is important to be aware of. And it goes back to, if you are new to Haitian Vodou, honoring, respecting every single aspect that you come across, that you interact is important, particularly with sacred artifacts as the living spirits of the drums. If we were to think about the role of the drums during the Haitian Revolution, right? The drums played a significant role in the Haitian Revolution. And during that time, during enslavement, drums were essentially used as a form of communication across the island of Hispaniola. The enslaved Africans used to use the drums to create messages, to communicate with, you know, one plantation, you know, one set of enslaved Africans at one plantation or one aspect of the colony versus another. And it was seen that over time, there was a secret language that was essentially created that actually you still see at play in Vodou ceremonies between drummers and what I call that Wuto culture. You still see aspects of that influence still at play, because there's a lot of secrecy. There's this underground current, underground culture with, you know, Wutogis, the drummers, etc. But it dates back to the times of the Haitian Revolution, where drums were used to transmit messages. They were sometimes considered, you know, the start of an uprising, or if during the revolution, if there's changes in war tactics, changes in information that's being transmitted, the drum was used a lot to focus on, you know, helping transmit those types of messages. You know, I want to go back to that mega drum I talked about. It is said that I've heard elders talk about this, the fact that the huge mega drum used to actually be played at certain times during the revolution because it was so powerful. Now imagine there's this drum that's, I think it's, you know, let's say I'm about 5'3". This drum is taller than me. Like, it's this huge, huge, huge drum that was played that can be heard literally across the island. It could be heard miles and miles away. And so it was, you know, especially during times of war, specifically, you know, during the Haitian Revolution, that the big, huge drum, that mega drum, that's again bigger than the mama tambu, has been heard to play. And it's really interesting. There's some bitations, some lakus, some societes that also, you know, kind of in memory of that time in history, they have the big mega drum. They may not play it, you know, as like part of like regular ritual, regular ceremony, but they have it kind of in remembrance of, you know, the times of the Haitian Revolution. So sometimes if you may see this huge, huge drum that's not being played, but it's kind of, you know, there, it is really to commemorate that time in history. And there's actually sometimes when that mega drum is played, whether it's in like secret ceremonies or certain, you know, things that are not like seen for the public, where sometimes those big, huge mega drums are played. But essentially the drums played such an important role during the revolution. The drums were pivotal as ways of communicating during what we called kalindas, during the maonage of the Maroon people, which I talked a lot about in season one. But in addition to the drums being a sense of a way to communicate with one another, there's just something about the rhythm of the drums, you know, and you know, there's a living spirit, right, in these specific drums. So there's just something about, you know, those drums that are nourishing to the soul. And a lot of the enslaved Africans at that time, they actually drew inspiration. They drew motivation. You know, they were able to really, you know, draw on the, you know, on the living spirit of the drums, the rhythms, the sounds, the frequency, the vibration that essentially is generated from the drums. That, you know, really gave the enslaved Africans the will. You know, it helped kind of, you know, stir up the will, stir up the courage to fight another day of freedom during the revolution. Aibobo. So what was interesting is that, you know, we all know history. We all know that the enslaved Africans ended up, you know, starting this, you know, decade plus war against the colonizers, against slave owners. They eventually won, you know, and the drums played a significant role in Haiti gaining its freedom, its liberation from slavery. So there was a ripple effect, obviously, because of this. So one of the things that actually happened as a result of the power of the drums during the Haitian Revolution is that slave owners, you know, they kind of got together across the Americas and started to talk about, you know, what happened during the revolution that allowed for the enslaved Africans to essentially gain control, to succumb, all their slave owners to succumb to these enslaved Africans that, by the way, did not have any weaponry, were essentially in bondage, essentially oppressed, and they still won without any sort of modern weapons and resources. And the slave owners were baffled. They were baffled about that. And they were like, how did these people do it? And they soon came to realize that, wait a minute, the enslaved Africans were strategically using drums to send messages between the plantations, between the various colonies across the island. And because of that, because of once the slave owners and colonizers realized that, and the drums being used, that, you know, ultimately was one of the factors that led to the victory in Haiti, colonizers began banning the use of drums, the use of these types of instruments on other Caribbean islands at that time, because there was this strong fear amongst the slave owners that, man, if this worked in Haiti, there was this fear that, man, this could potentially work where we are, right? There's this fear that if these enslaved Africans start beating their drums, this could actually be used as a tool for revolution. It could be tools to begin an uprising or a rebellion on the various different plantations. So, for example, I know that within St. Kitts, the beating of the drums was specifically forbidden by law except at Christmas. And there was a lot of these types of nuanced types of drum bannings happened on different Caribbean islands. But what's really interesting, this goes back to the innovation and, you know, the resistance and the creativity and the will of Black people, of African ancestral people. The banning of drums in Trinidad, actually, this is a fun fact, actually, you know, within Trinidad and Tobago, the enslaved Africans there actually ended up creating the steel pan because of the drum that were banned on the island. So it was really interesting that the steel pans were originally made of different various items. They were made of things like discarded oil drums or tins or metal containers. And even though there was a ban on drums, that did not stop the enslaved Africans in Trinidad to create an entirely new sound, an entirely new type of instrument. And today, as you may know or may not know, the steel pan drums is essentially the national instrument within Trinidad and Tobago. So if you were ever to, let's say, go to a carnival, or if you had a chance to go to Trinidad and Tobago, shout out to our brothers and sisters in Trinidad and Tobago, they use that drum band to create an entirely new way of music, way of living, way of really resisting at colonialism and being able to empower and really stand in their own freedom and their own liberation. Aibobo. So Aibobo to Trinidad for taking the drum band that, you know, started with the Haitian Revolution and that victory, and they, you know, taking it to an entirely new level. And so you've got to love that Black creativity, that Black resistance. So, but even to this day, if we think about the role of drums, specifically Haitian voodoo drums, we think about the role of the drums. They continue to play an active role even to this day. You know, I did an episode on the importance of Gaga music, which there's aspects of Gaga music that's both cultural and social, but there's a political, right? There's a social justice angle to Gaga music, and the drums and the instruments that are played play a significant role in that. Well, we see the Haitian drums continue to play a role in the resistance and the fight for freedom, the fight for social justice. We see that there are sometimes rhythms that are specifically designed to remember the Maroon ancestors of the revolution. There are drums and rhythms specifically to remember the spirits of the Haitian Revolution, to really be able to help continue, you know, that kind of that focus and symbol towards freedom, towards social justice, towards liberation. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get a chance to talk about a comparative lens of Wuntaw across other religions. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Are you passionate about Haitian voodoo, its history, and its role in shaping the Haitian culture in the world? Then let us introduce you to COSAMBA, the premier scholarly association dedicated to the study of Haitian voodoo and Pan-African religions. COSAMBA brings together scholars, practitioners, and the broader community to explore the richness of Pan-African traditions. Through research, conferences, and community engagement, COSAMBA keeps the sacred tradition of Haitian voodoo alive while fostering deeper understandings. Whether you're a scholar, a student, or simply someone seeking to learn more about these powerful faith traditions, COSAMBA is your gateway to knowledge and connections. Visit COSAMBA, COSANBA.org to learn more and join the movement.
Want to make a difference in a child's life? The Empowerment Network 10 Global, founded by Dr. Charlene Desir, is transforming communities by providing children with opportunities to learn, grow, and thrive. Through summer camps, leadership programs, and educational support, 10 Global creates safe, nurturing spaces where children can develop confidence, life skills, and a brighter future. Centered in Haitian Vodou cosmology and African spirituality, these programs give kids the tools they need to succeed, whether it's academically, socially, spiritually, or emotionally. But we need your help. By donating, volunteering, or spreading the word, you can help provide scholarships, supplies, and life-changing experiences for these young minds. Visit 10global.org today. That's TENGLOBAL.org. Get involved or get connected. Together, we empower. Together, we rise. This idea of Wuto being a living spirit, being the spirit of the drums, that is actually not unique only to Haitian Vodou. There's actually other religions across the world that have a similar deity, a similar divinity that plays a specific role when it comes to the drums. So I'm going to start with the one that's kind of a sister religion. We'll start with Ifa. So if we think about specifically Ifa, what comes to mind when I think about Wuto comparatively is what they called Ayan. And Ayan is a primordial drummer that has received the sacred rhythms from Oludumare, which is Oludumare is the supreme creator within the Ifa tradition. And Ayan is considered both a deity and a lineage of people. So there are essentially people that come from the Ayan lineage that are in Ifa considered master drummers. And this is kind of master drummers really by bloodline. So in the Ifa tradition, the Ayan as a primordial drummer, as a spirit, as a deity, is not only just a deity, there's an ancestral lineage of drummers that essentially play that role within the Ifa tradition. And similar to Wuto in Haitian Vodou, where when the drums are played, they are calling the laws to come and be in possession and to manifest on the earthly realm. Well, within, you know, the Ifa tradition, the Ayan is essentially the drums. They talk in a Yoruba language, similar to how Wuto talks in a secret, you know, language, sacred language. The Ayan, they speak the Yoruba language, praising the deities, calling them down to come and be in possession. And similar to Haitian Vodou drummers, The Aeons, because they represent both the deity as well as the drummer, so they're kind of, the term is used interchangeably, they are considered, you know, what we call, you know, ritualists, right? They help maintain communication between humans, the ancestors, and the Orisha through the talking drums, through the drum that is essentially called the Aeon. So it's, again, very, very, there are some, you know, there may be some nuanced differences culturally, but essentially it's a very similar pattern in terms of having a living spirit within the drums. We see within the Hindu tradition, there is what's called the god of Taraha that beats what's called the Damori drum. And that drum essentially is self-sustained cycles of creation and destruction. So it's interesting in that this god specifically beating this drum that again creates this, you know, helps create and helps facilitate divine presence, is also about how do they help, you know, preserve the Hindu cosmology in a way that helps kind of keep that, you know, the cycles of creation and destruction. So I think what's interesting is that within the Hindu tradition, there is a specific god. Now, the god and the drums are separate, but they work together in rhythmic patterns, right, in order to create cycles of creation and destruction across the world. So it's really interesting in that the drums, they are used from a, you know, from a cosmological sense, not just musical, right? And this goes back to the conversation that Wunto as the Lua has with the divine, bringing forth the divine into the earthly presence. And we also see within the Lakota practices, so if we think about indigenous religions like the Lakotas within the Americas, the drums are spoken as if they are a living relative that carries prayers to the creator. And so in that sense, the drums are considered a spirit being, right? They're not just an object. They're essentially a vessel with a living spirit, right? And so they see the drums as essentially the heartbeat of the earth. So you'll see in a lot of indigenous traditions, drumming is also a very sacred act. And it is considered, again, similar to Wunto, having that secret language that helps, you know, create that connection and helps facilitate communication with the divine. So we see both in across various different religions that Wunto, again, even though it's specifically Haitian Vodou, there are other comparative deities, other religions that have a similar kind of, you know, signature energy that essentially helps facilitate language and helps create that communication with the divine. So I want to switch gears. I want to take some time and talk about the drummers specifically. And I've, you know, what's interesting is that I planned on talking about various roles within Haitian Vodou. I plan on doing that on a future podcast episode. But, you know, in the spirit of talking about Wunto, I think I would be remiss to not talk about the drummers, given their role with the drums within Haitian Vodou. It's hard, they're kind of interchangeable in a sense when it comes to the role, the significant role that they play. So it's hard to separate that, right? It's hard to talk about the drums and not talk about the drummers, because the drummers, you know, they play just as a significant role as the drums themselves. So when most people, we think about kind of a Western, you know, association of a drummer. Typically, a person thinks of a drummer, let's say from a Western lens, as a musician. Some individuals may consider them an entertainer. And there's kind of a whole like narrative and imagery or association that people have with musicians, with entertainers, with drummers, right? That is essentially very different from how drummers are viewed in Haitian Vodou. So remember what we talked about earlier, Wunto drummers are called Wuntogis. Sometimes they're called Wuntogi, they're called Tambuya. You may hear someone calling them specifically like a drummer. even though they have, you know, they have those different names, the Wutagi plays a sacred role, and they actually carry an immense responsibility to the success of any Vodou ceremony. Because again, a Wutagi is not just a drummer. You know, to call them just a drummer or see them or view them as just a musician or just an entertainer doesn't really do their role justice in terms of how important they are in Vodou. The Wutagi is like, they're the ones who are essentially facilitating the sounds for the spirits through the spirit of the drums, right? So within their hands are the prayers, the music, the invocations. Like, they hold a lot of responsibility in helping open the road and helping bring the spirits in and bringing them in properly into the earthly realm, helping receive them into the earthly realm in the way of Leglema, right? So it's important to understand the role that they play. What's interesting is the word, like, Wutagi, similar, has phone roots. You know, within phone, the word drummer is actually called wuka, or called azo wuka. So wuta, wutagi, azo wuka, wuka. You can see they're all kind of interrelated, talking about the servant of the drum spirit, so to speak. The word wutagi also is African derived in terms of the sacredness that role plays in playing the overall drums. And, you know, these sacred drummers, again, these are not just casual, you know, kind of encounters. These are actually kind of many of them are initiated, trained, and many of them, they're divinely called, they're spiritually called to play that specific role. There is a lot of work that goes into being a Wutagi of Haitian Vodou. They are highly trained. They have to learn the songs. They not only have to learn the songs that are associated with the various different laws, they have to also learn the rhythm, right? The rhythm of the specific songs of the various different laws. So that takes time. It takes a lot of time, you know, to be initiated, to be ritually prepared, to train, right? There's a sense of an apprenticeship model that takes place with drummers from one to another. And it takes years, right? Years of preparation, not just physical preparation, not just musical preparation, but also they undergo spiritual preparation, right? And it goes back to, you know, the sense of there's kind of this underground, there's a lot of secrecy when it comes to drummers, with good reason, right? With good reason, given the importance that they play. But drummers, again, are typically spiritually called. You know, a person is, you know, let's say chosen or marked to be a drummer within Haitian Vodou. In the book, The Divine Horseman, the author Maya Duren, she writes, there are at least a dozen such distinction and specific beats, each of which has a specific movement and is related to a different song. The drummer must not only learn each of the beats, but must be familiar with a vast literature of songs, so that when the Ajeniko, and in this context, the Ajeniko is actually the song leader of a specific Vodou ceremony, which we'll talk about in a future episode. Going back to her passage, so that when the Ajeniko launches into a specific song, the drummer must immediately know which nation that song belongs to and which beat must therefore accompany it. And as Maya kind of outlines, right? Like, so there's dozens of different distinct beats, dozens of different specific, what we call leets or rhythms. So the minute that the song leader within the ceremony starts to sing a song, the drummer has to immediately pick up on it, know which song it is, and know how to kind of begin to play you know, the song in order to help, you know, bring that specific law into the earthly realm. So it just, you know, in other words, this takes years. You know, this requires years and years of training, years of dedication, commitment, knowledge, in order for an individual to become a skilled drummer, to carry out an entire voodoo ceremony, right, through drumming and song. So this is not, again, something that should be taken lightly. In another book, the book is called The Spirit Service, Vodun and Vodou in the African Atlantic World. Author Elizabeth McAllister, she actually shares a story about the late Frisner Augustin. And Frisner, may he rest in peace, was a well-known Haitian drummer. You know, in the passage, she writes, during one ritual, prayer, and dance, the Mr. Ogu appeared and instructed the society to initiate Frisner as a wutongi, or serviteur, right, of Wuto. Wuto, the spirit of the drum, does not possess people, or if it does, it enables them to play the rhythm stronger and better. It has its own songs of invocation and blessing, and its own flowery invocation designs called veves. It is saluted, and it, meaning Wuto, the drum, Wuto is saluted in ritual reglement that includes Papa Legba in the door and the many spirits at the Potomita, the center post, and Wuto at the drums. The spirit Wuto speaks to the other spirits through the drums, and with the help of Papa Legba, these divinities manifest in people by dancing in their heads. Wuto's energy is placed into drums in a complex and lengthy consecration ritual called Kushe Tambu, essentially laying of the drums, in which the drums are washed and fed, prayers and a ritual meal, and thereby brought into being with a personhood of their own. So Elizabeth McAllister, she's kind of shared a lot in that specific passage, but she shared specifically a story about how during a specific Vodou ceremony, where the société was instructed to initiate Frisner as a wutongi. So again, this goes back to drummers being divinely called, right? Divinely called to play a specific role. And what's interesting is that, you know, in that passage, she also talked about the fact that Wuto, each of the drums, we talk about that they're living spirits. So think about when there's conversations about spirits and how they're served, essentially, right? When they're served, you know, when they're served, they may be given libations, they may be given food offerings, they're giving ritual prayers. Similar, the drums also go through a similar kind of service, if you will, in order to create an inhabited spirit within the drums, right? In order to help facilitate that process. And again, there's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of, again, more secret things that are more underground in terms of how all of those processes take place. But just knowing that, again, that the spirit of the drums are essentially embodied, and that there are real rituals that take place both for the drums but also for the specific drummers. So we're gonna take another quick break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna wrap up today's conversation talking about Wuto. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. What many people may not realize is that not only is Wudo a living spirit, Wudo can actually be considered its own nation, right? With its own spirits, its own, you know, kind of codes, its own responsibility. And I talked about briefly before the break that there's secrecy to the language of Wudo, the secrecy to how people are trained as Wudogis, right? And that secrecy is purposefully not shared in order to preserve, right? To preserve the spirit of the drums, to preserve the culture, right? To preserve in a sense that it doesn't get in the wrong hands. So there's a lot of secrecy to this particular group. I think for me, and this is a word that I use, because of the underground culture around Wudo that's often not really seen, but is very, very present in every single ceremony, is very present with the drummers. I call these like underground practices, I call them Wudo culture, right? So there's essentially a set of kind of cultural norms that can take place within the drums and with the drummers themselves, and the relationships that the drummers have with their drums, right? There's a culture that comes with that that is important for people to be aware of, that may be a little different from what is considered the typical norm within a Vodou community, within a Vodou laku, within a Vodou societe. So for example, you know, in season one, we talked a lot about the fact that Haitian Vodou is communal in nature, right? And yes, the drummers play a pivotal role within Vodou ceremonies and within a Vodou community. However, going back to the Wudo culture, drummers are agnostic, meaning drummers can actually play a set of drums. They can go from one spiritual community to the next. So it's very common to not see a series of drummers just, you know, dedicated to one laku or one societe or one bitacion. You'll see very commonly drummers actually travel. You know, they're kind of working professionals. They travel, even though they're working spiritualist in the sense of the role that they play. But they go and they play drums at different communities. They don't specifically stick to one laku or societe. Now, that may be optional. Some drummers may decide that they want to stick to their one lineage, their one specific laku or societe, but it is very common to see drummers play at different communities. And, you know, going back to the book Divine Horsemen by Maya Deren, she actually shares some observations around how drummers kind of move from one community to the next, and some other practices that they have that may be, you know, kind of an anomaly to a typical kind of Haitian Vodou community. So in the book, I'm going to paraphrase, but in the book she writes, the drummer as such has no position whatsoever in the wufo, although as a serviteur he may belong to one unfo or another. Unfo in this case is kind of a, you know, the kind of the altar space within a laku. She goes on to write, in any case, it has been my experience that rarely, if indeed ever, is the drummer kanzo. He takes a professional craft towards his work and may drum at ceremonies of various and even competitive wufos of the same region. Whereas no member of one societe can participate officially at the ceremony of another, apart from the wunga or perhaps the leplas, who may assist in an honorary capacity. It has also been my observation that drummers on a whole may frequently neglect to make ritual salutations at the altar where they may be drumming. And during prayers, the drummer may frequently wander away from the peristyle and is the only individual to do so. So because, you know, the drummers kind of, they play this like independent role, right? Independent of one's, you know, kind of having that dedication
or commitment to one societe or one laku, they go to different, you know, spaces, they go to different lineages, they play various different drums, but again, they're kind of exempt in a sense from some of the reglima, some of the practices that you see others, if they were to ever even try to do those things, that would be considered insulting in some places. It may be disrespectful, right, to not follow reglima in a sense. But drummers, because again, their role and the work that they do, you know, they're kind of seen and viewed differently, and that's really actually normalized. So again, it speaks to that underground Wunta culture that we see playing out within Vodou. Now, what's really also interesting, you know, thinking about Wunta culture, is that, you know, like, you know, what was said earlier, the Wunta, the spirit, rarely comes in possession, but there are some times where certain rituals, certain ceremonies, the drummers themselves do become mounted by Wunta. And I think that's a very interesting experience for a person to see, because if you are lucky to see that, or lucky to see a recording of a drummer being mounted by Wunta, that is a very rare sighting, right? So consider yourself special if you have a chance to see that in action, either in person or you get a chance to see that, with watching a specific video. And what's also interesting, you know, thinking about Wunta culture, not everyone is allowed to play the mama drums. So it goes back to the mama drums. There's a certain level of mastery. There's a certain level of, let's say, spiritual cleanliness that you must have. There's a certain level of trust that you must have within the laku that you're, you know, the laku or the societe that you're playing in, right? So the mama tambu is, you know, think of it that there's a certain order, right? A certain hierarchy of the drums. And because of the mama tambu kind of leading the path and setting the tone for the rest of the instruments, not every drummer is allowed to play that. So, you know, one kind of word of advice I would say to anyone that may be interested in going to a Vodou ceremony, interested in seeing these types of, you know, seeing the drummers, don't ever, ever, ever go into a space where ceremony is being held or there's certain sacred artifacts of Haitian Vodou and start just playing the drums casually, right? Because that is actually seen, that's actually seen as being very disrespectful. And there can actually be spiritual consequences, because remember, the drums are living spirits. So they are not toys, right? So just keep that in mind for kind of future reference. When you see the drums, you know, give them the same reverence and respect and honor as you would any other aspect within Haitian Vodou. You know, just kind of a couple other things I think, you know, just to share in terms of kind of the Wunta culture, is that drummers can actually express disapproval during the drumming. Like I think I mentioned this earlier in the show, if the drummer is upset, if drummers feel like they've been disrespected in any way, they can actually ruin a Vodou ceremony, because again, the facilitation of laws coming into the presence is manifested through the spirit of the drums. And so if they're not playing, if they're playing off, or they're drumming in a certain way to express disapproval, they can actually, you know, kind of put the ceremony kind of out of tune, out of the right frequency. And there's actually been known, again, if there is disrespect, if there's certain things that are not in place, the drums may not play. It is a phenomena that hopefully you'll never see an experience or see anyone else experience, but they may produce no sound, right? They may just refuse to play. This essentially, you know, there's some sort of blockage that needs to be addressed before the drum plays or the drummers are playing. So again, this goes back to that honor and respect, honoring the rituals, honoring the reglima, honoring all aspects of Wunta and the Wutagi culture. With that, I want to conclude today's conversation. I want to conclude today's conversation by sending a big, big Aibo Bo Aibobo, a big Shapoba. Shapoba means hats off. Just a big Aibobo to all of the amazing Vodou drummers, the Tambuyas, the Wutagis of the past, the Wutagis, the drummers, the Tambuyas of the present, the Wutagis, the drummers, the Tambuyas of the future. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for the service. Thank you for what you bring to Vodou. We love you. We honor you. We thank you so much for what you do to help us all connect with the divine. Aibobo, Aibobo, Aibobo. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Make sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss an update on the podcast. And if you have a question, you have thoughts, you have comments about today's episode, you want to share thoughts about Wuta, or you have questions about Wuta, feel free to send us an email, aguacerito@gmail.com. And don't forget, if this episode really resonated with you, feel free to share it with the first person that comes to your mind who you feel might need to hear this message as well. Join us next time as we honor Magasa, the beloved divine twins of Vodou. Until then, keep learning, growing, and pushing forward on your journey. And as always, we are going to close out in prayer. Thank you to the Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all of the divine saints, spirits, protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and south. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain and balance us in every moment. Thank you to Wuta, the living spirit of the drum. Thank you for continuing to grace us with your presence, ceremony after ceremony. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, both near and far. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our path. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received, all that is to be learned will unfold, and all that is to be shared will bear fruit in time. Aibobo, agoago, bo, rababa, asao, alaso, awoshenago, javoda, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, se, bo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerito podcast show.
for joining us on the Aguacerito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits. And remember, the Aguacerito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.